a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
What has been the lowest point of your life? I'm sure if you look over the course of your life, there have been many points that are low, but there is something that you have faced and maybe will face that will definitely be the lowest point. And everything has changed as you knew it. The course that you knew formerly, this event, this tragedy, this sorrow, this circumstance has altered the way of life as you know it, and now you have to go forward. Well, that's what Psalm 3 is describing. It's describing God's people in the struggle of this world, and it's using the example, using the setting, using the historical setting of David when he was fleeing from Absalom, his son. Remember, Absalom had stole the hearts of Israel. He'd led a great conspiracy against David. There were conspirators that came. All of Israel gathered together with Absalom. And here is David. The throne has been ripped away, and now somebody comes out and curses him, throwing stones at him. David realizes in one day, everything has fallen apart. Everything has been taken from him. In one day, his family has been torn apart. In one day, his son has conspired against him. In one day, he's being cursed, fleeing from his throne, and the nation of Israel not on his side. And you see, now you understand verse 1 of this psalm. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. Here he is. This psalm was written in his flight, the most distressing point of life. Now you understand why I asked, what is your lowest moment? I've seen people's lives, homes disrupt, families torn apart, children betray you, spouses fall against you, the world sits and spins out of control. See how quickly things can change? And we experience the consequences of sin. Maybe our circumstances we think are telling us that we've been abandoned by the Lord. We struggle with that. We wonder, this circumstance sure seems to say that, especially when I suffer the consequences of my sin. How do I know that I'm not cast off? I believe David really struggled with this. And so here we are, Selah. The psalm makes us pause. It makes us think about this. That's what I believe the Selahs are doing for us. They're telling us to stop, reflect upon this. This is awful. Now, what do you do at times like this? Can you have any confidence? You see, what is so striking about this psalm is that in verse 3, he says, but you, O Lord. And he goes on to tell us that at the lowest point of his life, God gave him a good night's rest. And then he breathes out the most beautiful expression of trust we have in the Psalms. It's just beautiful. And it's a radical contrast, isn't it? It doesn't even make sense to us. On the one hand, everything has unraveled. He's at the lowest point of life. And in the next verses, he's in complete peace. It's the same structure as Lamentations. Just listen to it. I have become a laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished. So is my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Can we really have confidence when we know our sin has caused so much of this mess? Well, here's where we need to look at the big picture today. Psalm 2 presented to us the father installing his son on the throne, the holy hill. Just an awesome psalm. Do you think it's coincidental that here the king's, in Psalm 3, non-anointed son, Absalom, dethrones the anointed one? In other words, in Psalm 2, God set up his king in heaven on his throne. In Psalm 3, here is the king dethroned by his son, crossing the brook Kidron, being cursed, being ridiculed, armies against him, driven from his throne right out on in into the wilderness. Where is the deliverance? This is chaos. The order of Psalm 2 presented in heaven is totally turned upside down on earth in Psalm 3, presenting to us the exact opposite. The psalm is screaming to us, look at the bigger picture. You see, who is this all about, dear listener? Selah. What is the story? What is the story here? It's the story of Jesus. From the moment of his birth, there was a great conspiracy against him. To kill him, an imposter sat on the throne. Herod, all of Israel, God's son, had gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Did he ever sit on his Jerusalem throne? He was in exile his whole life. Enemies attacking him. Shimei, there was Judas. And there were false witnesses who rose up against him. And they cursed him. They spit on him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. And on the cross, what did they say of him? In the very heart of his afflictions, the cry of this psalm is here stated. If God were with him, God would deliver him. That's what they said. There's no help for him in God. And you see, there's a reason. This psalm ends by saying salvation belongs to the Lord. The world attempted to dethrone the Lord's anointed, and he did laugh. For he raised Jesus far above all principalities and powers to a throne that cannot be taken from him. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. What was David saying? The greater conspiracy of this psalm is the conspiracy against the Lord, the Lord's Christ upon his throne. And Jesus was triumphant. And as David was restored to his throne, so Christ would be restored. Christ is king over all. Christ was raised from the dead. And you see, what I want you to think about today is that this has huge implications for our struggle here now on earth as believers. That's what I want you to see. All the scriptures are about Jesus. Jesus came here to suffer these things for us. When we experience the conflict so great, here we are staring on the earth at the enemies of our Lord. We have a whole host of spiritual forces against us. We have no idea the demonic attack. We see how quickly things could change all around us. But the beauty of Psalm 3 is, it's showing to us the blessing that we have from the Lord in our struggle on earth. Remember the end of Psalm 2. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. That's Jesus. In the heart of our trials and afflictions and pains and misery on this earth, what's the Lord doing for us? Verse 3 shows us the blessing of the life of faith. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Did you hear what just happened? I don't think we should move over this too quickly. I'm pretty sure as believers, if you're a believer today, none of us appreciate as we should how wonderful the Lord has been. He cares for his sheep. He loves them. He keeps them. And David's life was nothing to boast about. He had killed a man. He had committed adultery. And yet, looking to the Lord, what is it that David realized about him? He's a shield. That is what the Lord promised to Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I'm never going to leave you. And what is pictured before us is the Lord standing before David, grabbing his chin and lifting up his head from discouragement. You see, that's the picture. The Lord answers us by giving us one of the greatest descriptions of peace that he surrounds our hearts with in the struggles of this life, to assure us that he hears our prayers and he answers us in the heart of our afflictions. It says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. This is known as a mourning song. You know why? Because we picture David out in the wilderness, no place to sleep, his enemies after him. In the morning, he awoke to realize that all night, the Lord had encamped around him and protected him. And God even gave him the blessing of sleep. And you see, that's what Philippians 4 says to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He invites us to trust him, no matter the circumstances, as we thank him for his care. And you know what he will do for you? The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. You see, circumstances may not be controlled by us, nor does God promise always to change them. But God does promise you something better. He says he will pour out upon you his peace. This calming perspective about the whole thing, and this very peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. You see, this psalm describes one last blessing. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you've struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You've broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. You need to understand something, dear listener. Your struggle under the sun, my struggle under the sun, because Jesus is seated, means that he hears us from his holy hill of Zion. He will defend us. Every enemy will be destroyed. This sad world and all the injustices are going to be dealt with. Every man will give an answer. So, I suppose I say this to Christians today. Next time you fear because of how awful things are down on earth, next time you cry out because of the escalation of wickedness, next time you mourn seeing how bad leaders are and things are happening, next time you're crushed, I want you to remember this. The Lord shows us in this psalm, we're not alone here to fight, because his anointed one sits on the throne. He is committed to make right every single wrong that happens in this sad world. That's what Christ came for, to bring salvation, to reverse the awful tragedy of where sin leads. And he has promised that all who believe upon his mighty Son will not be put to shame. It's scary for those who stand against Jesus. It says here in this psalm, their teeth will be shattered. Kiss the Son in the day of his power, lest his wrath be kindled but a little, and you perish in the way. But for those who trust him, no matter of adversity, our sorrows, nothing that we face will overturn us in our faith. He has promised that sorrow comes in the night, but joy in the morning. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the promise. I can't imagine David weeping, because at the own rebellion was his son. And yet David is teaching us that the answer to all this misery is God's greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we don't see everything right now put under his feet, he is reigning. We see him. He has died and is resurrected and today sits on high. Lift up your heads then in the midst of this world's rage. He is your shield, your salvation, and your strength. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask that you would support us both prayerfully and financially. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.